Blog Talk Radio.
This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Watchman on the Wall, Elder G. Bazaar, coming to you on End Time Global Link Minister on Chaotic, on Block Talk Radio, giving you the appreciation for tuning in on your station to hear nothing but the word of the living God. That's the only thing I got. Amen. Ain't got nothing else but the word of the living God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The one that was, the one that is, and the one to come. The Almighty, the Everlasting Father, standing right on the top of Mount Calvary. Amen. Watchman on the Wall. And what I see on top of Mount Calvary, I can see further than on top of Mount Whitney. any mountain in the world. This mountain is the highest mountain. Amen. It's the most blessed mountain. It's a mountain in which everybody got to go to if you want to go to heaven. You got to go to Calvary. That's why I play that song, because that's the main topic song of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Without the birth of Jesus Christ, without the life of Jesus Christ, without the suffering and him dying on Calvary's cross and going down into the grave, good God Almighty, going into the grave and then coming up out of the grave with all power in heaven and earth. What did he do in the grave? Well, when he died, he paid the price for your sins, because we all are born sinners. Nobody on this planet is born sinless, but one. Amen. But one, only but one is born without sin, without shame. Perfect birth, a holy birth, a birth, amen, that would never happen again. And that was God himself became man. He planted himself, the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary, and God himself, the Almighty God, implanted himself into Mary's womb and stayed there 9 months in swaddling clothes, born in Bethlehem of Judea. That was God Almighty. God all by himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All three are co-equal and all three are one. One. There ain't no three God. There ain't no three heads in heaven. It's the Godhead. God in the fullness of the Godhead is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, which is Jesus Christ. Woo! Now that's powerful. There ain't nothing more powerful than that. And no other deity, no other demon, no other false God never did nothing like that. Never. Never have, never will, and this ain't going to happen. Amen. Jesus Christ is the only way and the unique way and the righteous way and the holy way is the only way that any human being can reach God Almighty. The only way you can know God Almighty is through his Son. And when you know the Son, you know the Father. If you say you know the Son and don't have the Father and deny the Father, you're anti-God. Because God is God all by himself, and he became man, and his name is Jesus Christ. For we know that the Bible quotes over 365 names we can give him. The Lamb of God, the Lion out of the tribe of Judah, root and offspring of David, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, he's bread, he's water, he's my shepherd. Oh, man, you can go all through the Bible, and he got names for him. But the name that stands above every name, is the name of Jesus Christ. For at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee, every black knee, every white knee, every bent knee, every rusty knee, every knee that can bend is going to bend one day. Every tongue, every lying tongue, every dirty tongue, every corrupted tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord God of heaven. And even Lucifer, oh yeah, he's there. He's going to bow. All the demons in hell is going to bow. The whole heaven and the whole earth is going to bow. And they're going to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God, the King of glory, the King of heaven. Amen, amen. You talking about power? Ain't no other man can do that. Woo, the one that walked on the water, calmed the raging sea, healed the sick, raised the dead, fed 5,000, two loaves of bread, and two fishes and five barley of bread. Woo! The man that cast out the demons at the graveyard. 6,000 demons in one man. Good God Almighty. And the demons cried out and identify him. He said, oh, why do you come and torment us before our time? Because they knew he was the Son of God. And when they saw Jesus, they said, oh, we want to get out of here, but we want to go into the swines. And Jesus said, go to the swine and those 6,000 demons, because his name was Legion, and Legion represents 6,000. And the man was so strong so strong that nobody could hold him down. They chained him to the grave tombs, but he couldn't hold him down. He was wild. He was cutting himself. He was mad. He was saying all kind of perverse words, and nobody could cast the demons out until the demons saw Jesus Christ. When they saw Jesus Christ, they trembled with fear and said, "Let us go into the swine." And the demons went into the swine, and the swine ran over the cliff. They committed suicide. And guess what? These same demons are in existence today. The devil went crazy. He's already crazy. He was crazy when he was talking that old nonsense, talking that yang in hell. Now, that's what it was. It was a bunch of yang talking about, "I'm going to overthrow the kingdom of God, and I'm going to sit on the throne of God, and I'm going to be like God. And if God don't like it, let's see what he's going to do about it." And God kicked him out. And Satan said, "Well, I'm not the only one going to be kicked out." He said, "Because one third," good God Almighty, listen to me. Revelation says one third of the angelic host was cast out with him, and it was cast down into the atmosphere. And right now, and ruling in first and second heaven. He's in first and second heaven, and he's the prince power of the air. He rules in high places. He's doing things now in the earth. Why? Because of Adam and Eve failed God. They disobeyed God, and sin entered into the world, and it entered into Adam and Eve. And ever since then, sin has been on the prowl. It's killing folks. Oh, my God, the world is full of murderers and thieves and liars and full of it, because we all born in sin and shaped in iniquity, my mother conceived me. But God had a plan before it even happened. And that plan, I got a plan beyond all plans, and that is to redeem mankind. Now, a lot of people say, "Well, is the whole world going to be saved?" Well, according to the Bible, not the whole world is not going to be saved, but Jesus Christ came that the world might be saved, might be saved, and the might depends upon the individual. Woo! Because, see, God already made his move. He done made his move at Calvary's cross. Amen. He made his move, and his move was he had to die. He had to die. He had to die through an awful death, and that's hanging a man, hanging with nails in his hands, hanging with nails in his feet, pierced his side, put a crown of thorns on his head, called him everything but the child of God, mocked him and embarrassed him, spit upon him, whipped him 39 times with a cat and nine tails, and mutilated his back, disfigured his face. Woo, they stretched him so wide that every joint, every socket of his bones was out of socket. He cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He felt the whole pain of sin, of all the sins upon him, of the whole world from the beginning to the end. Woo! He did that to save you from hell. Save your soul from hell. Deliver you from hell. What did you say, preacher? I said, he didn't have to, but he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish." God loved you so much that he was willing enough to give you his son, that he was willing enough to die for you, that he was willing enough to take the stripes. He was willing enough to be spit upon. He was willing enough to call everything but the child of God. He did all that for you. Not only for you, but he did it for me. He did it for the whole round world. Did it for the liars, the prostitutes, the drunkards, the baby killers. He did it for the whoremongers, and he did it for the fags. He did it for the homosexuals. He did it for the sodomites. He did it for every low-down, dirty, rotten, conniving sin. Oh, he took it all, sister, brother. He took it all, sister, brother. Amen. Ain't no man on this earth to say that he never sinned, because you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Until you get the age of accountability, then you are responsible for your own sins. And you are responsible to see that your sins be wiped out, that your sins be cleansed, that your sins will never come in the presence of God anymore all the days of your life. Because when Christ saved me, he saved me from my past sin, he saved me from my present sin, and he saved me from my future sin. My sins are wiped out. In other words, I, as far as my soul and my spirit, I'm a sinless person, but yet still I live in a carnal body, and my body still inbred with sin, and I got to have the power enough to overcome that inbred sin in my body. And so the Holy Ghost is the one that can, if you live and conquer sin, death, hell, and the grave. And I want you to know that the first thing that the Bible wants to imprint upon you, as Paul said, I preach nothing else but save Jesus and him crucified. If a preacher is not preaching the crucifixion, the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he's not a preacher. If he's not preaching that, I mean, that's the first thing Paul gave the Corinthians. He said, I preach nothing if I preach nothing but save Jesus and him crucified. And the crucifixion was no small matter to God. Oh, Lord, so well, since he's God Almighty, it was nothing to. But that was the most difficult. Come on now. And she said, nothing is difficult to God. When Jesus Christ was in the garden of Gethsemane, he said, Father, Father, if there's another cup that I can take, let this cup pass from me. Not my will, but your will be done. It was a difficult chore. He's going to die in pain and agony. He was going to die. But he knew, I got power enough to lay down my life, and I got enough power to pick it up again. But I got to go through this. If I don't go through this, 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 man cannot be saved. My soul couldn't be saved. I couldn't be redeemed. Because somebody had to shed some blood. And God tried it in the Old Testament as far as animals and turtle doves and lambs and bullocks and all clean animals, but that was only a type and shadow of a better sacrifice, of an ultimate sacrifice, of an eternal sacrifice. There's no more sacrificing. Christ sacrificed his life once and for all, and that's for a sure thing. And ain't no more. Jesus is not coming down here no more to die for man. He done died already. And since he done died already, it's your responsibility. It's your choice to check your soul, check your spirit, check your faith, and make sure you know who you believe in and that you're persuaded that he's able to keep that which you have committed to him against the day. You better get a check. You better get a Holy Ghost check. Because the Holy Ghost check says when you've been born again, you receive the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, you receive the Spirit of God. You are baptized with the Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost baptizes you, there's a change in your life. You pass from darkness into the light. You're no longer the same person. Now you know who Jesus is. You know who God is. You know what he's done. You know what he's saying. You have had the experience with a new living way. And that new living way is to look to Jesus Christ, who's the author and finisher of your faith. Because there's no other salvation under heaven whereby man can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. So let me tell you something. The name of a denomination of a church, the name of an occult, the name of secret society, the name of all kind of man-made satanic organizations is not the way to heaven. There's only one way to get to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Woo, my God. Y'all got to excuse me, because this is exciting. But before I go into the word and give you some information on Mount Calvary, there where Jesus died and gave his life, that we through him can live a holy and righteous and sanctified life and walk in the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, we come to you this evening, this morning, this afternoon, thanking you all for your love, Lord. Use my lips to plead that I speak your word. I'm not going to add nothing. I'm not going to take nothing with me. I'm not going to make nothing try to fix anything up, because you would not allow that to come out of my mouth. I'm going to tell them the word of God, the living God, the sanctified God, the holy God, the righteous, the everlasting God, the God of all ages. He's been for us from every generation. We ask you right now, somebody out there that needs to know you in the pardon of their sin, because we know one thing, and we don't know nothing else. We know you're coming again, and you're coming sooner than we think you're coming, because we are in the last days. We're in the last hour. We might be in the last month. We might be in the last minute. We don't know, but the signs and the times and the wonders that's going on the planet Earth, we know that the kingdoms of Satan is getting ready to fall. Every kingdom that Satan built is getting ready to fall, and we know your kingdom is coming, and you're coming in power and in great glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. Yes, we are. We are living absolutely in the last days. 6,000 years are done. We're living in the last generation. This is a generation in which Jesus Christ will arrive. He's going to come. I guarantee you everything I got. Amen. I'm not a petty man. But let me tell you, if you want to put it on the table, I'll put the word of God on the table. I'll put the cross on the table. And I guarantee you, Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth sooner than anybody thinks he's coming back. And the reason he's coming back, because number one, he said there's going to be some Bible prophecies that are being fulfilled down through the annals of time. And now we're at the last, at the close of some of the fulfillment that yet has to be fulfilled. And that is, listen to me. Amen. If you have to listen it over and over again, listen to me. Jesus Christ said, before I come back to this earth, before I ever touch my feet on the top of the Mount of Olives, before I ever rapture the church, or before the Antichrist even comes, there's one thing I'm sure, and I know that I promised the seed of Abraham, before I come back, my people will be gathered back into their land. Ooh, listen to what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Jewish nation, God's chosen people, God's unique people, God's people, that they were supposed to show the power, the glory, the love, the joy, the peace of God as a nation upon this earth, and they failed. Since they failed, they were scattered from the four corners of the earth from 606 B.C. until 1948. The Jewish people were scattered all over the face of the earth. They didn't have a dwelling home. They didn't have no place to go. And already God had promised the Middle East. He promised Palestine. He promised the land flowing with milk and honey. He said, I'm going to give this land to the seed of Abraham. Y'all better listen to me now. Abraham was a father of faith. Amen. It was by Abraham that he believed God. And since he believed God without even seeing what God is getting ready to do, it was imputed to him for righteousness. And God was pleased with Abraham because of one unique doctrine of the Bible, and that is a doctrine of faith. Believing God. You say, well, preacher, what is faith? Well, you got your Bible there. Amen. Let's see what faith is. Let's doctor on that a little bit. Now, faith is. What faith is? Faith is this. In the 11th chapter of Hebrews, it says in the 11th chapter, now faith, not tomorrow faith, not the second faith, but now faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. So faith is believing God just as he sees it. You don't see it, but you believe it, you accept it, know God's going to do it, and by faith, God is pleased with Abraham. And because of the faith that Abraham had and his obedience, he said, out of these shall come a nation. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Let me go back here and verify what I'm talking about. Amen. In the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, we read, it says, the 12th chapter of Genesis tells us that God said, I'm going to raise up a nation that will be a representative here on earth for me and to be a representative to the other heathen nations, those that worship God, those that worship false religion, those that make their own religion up, those that were not acquainted with God in the Old Testament. So those that born outside of the chosen people were known as heathens. The Gentiles was known as heathens. That's a bad thing. A heathen is a sinner. A sinner is a heathen. Don't know who God is. So there's a lot of people. The Gentile nation that was not acquainted with God like the Jews were, because God said, I'm going to use Abraham's faith. I'm going to let Abraham ride off of faith, and I'm going to bless him, and I'm going to bless his seed. And out of his seed, I'm going to create and make a nation that will obey, and this nation shall be a representative of me on earth from Genesis all the way over to Revelation. Oh, my God. So let's see what Genesis says in the 12th verse, in the 12th chapter of Genesis. He said, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from under thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land. The land is Israel. The land is where they at now. And he said, I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation. Now you notice there it says great nation. There ain't no S's on it. Because he's talking about one specific nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curse thee. And in thee shall all family, all the Gentile heathen nations shall be blessed. And since I was born in a heathen nation, guess what? The Jewish nation, by the coming of Christ and his birth, death, and the resurrection, the nation of Israel through Jesus Christ, which was a Jew, I received Christ in my life, and Israel became a blessing through the Jewish nation by what Jesus Christ does. Because the Bible said he came to his own, and his own received him not, but as many received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God. Now, Jews had the first opportunity, and they rejected it. And by their rejection, Jesus said, I'm going to cut off the Jew for a period of time, and I'm going to engraft the Gentile nation. And that's where I come in at. And since I was born a Gentile, an unbeliever, a hedonistic belief, didn't know who God was until I met Jesus Christ, I was grafted in. And when I was grafted in, I was changed. And since I was changed, I can sing that song, I know I've been changed. I know I've been changed. I can sing, I know I've been redeemed. I know I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I know that I'm a child of God. I know that by the blessing of Abraham, and Abraham begot Jacob. Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot the 12 tribes of Israel. And out of Israel came a tribe named Judah. And out of Judah shall come a lion. And he shall what? He shall rule. He shall rule with a divine kingdom. And this line is out of the tribes of Judah and the root and offspring of David. And so now we have Israel being a blessing to the other nations of the world. And the Jews are still a blessing. And I know the Gentile nations are plotting to turn on the Jews. They want to annihilate them. The Iranians and the Pakistan and all those heathen nations want to get rid of the Jews. They can't get rid of the Jews. No. They couldn't get rid of Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ died, it was the Roman government that nailed him to the cross, because the Jews say, we don't want him. And since we don't want him, y'all do what y'all want to do with him. Hang him on a tree. Hang him. And in fact, kill him. We don't want him. And the Gentiles didn't know nothing about this is Yahweh God. But the Jews did. They knew who he was, but they didn't want to accept who he was. The Pharisees said, oh, no, you can't be God Almighty. How can you stand up and say, I am my father, one of the father's. Whatever I do, it's not me to do it, but my father's judgment. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. They said, well, that's that you're older than Abraham. Maybe you ain't nothing 30 years old. But he said, before Abraham was, I am. I am the one that was in the burning bush. I am the one that opened up the Red Sea. I am the one that was in the fire furnace with the Hebrew boy. I am the one that was in the lion. I am the one that made the world before anything was, and after the world is all gone, I'll still be here. I am that I am. I'm the God of heaven. And did you say, oh, we got the stone business. This man is blaspheming God. Now, I can't blaspheme God. And he was God himself. But they didn't want to have the responsibility of giving up business, giving up Judaism. They didn't want the responsibility, because when they thought that the Messiah was coming, he was going to destroy the Roman government and set up a millennial king. That's what the Jews believe. They say when he came the first time, he should have set up the Roman government and set up the millennial king and got rid of all of the Romans. But Jesus didn't come to destroy. He didn't come to tear down. He came to give life and give it to us more abundantly. And the Jews did not accept that because they believed, since they were the head of all the nations, that he delivered at that time. And Jesus Christ said, yeah, I come to deliver you, but I come to deliver you from sin. They said, well, we ain't got wrong with us. Oh, we the Pharisees, not the Sadducees. We know the law. We kept the rituals. We still have the sacrifices of animals. We do all that. But Jesus said, that ain't good enough. Covenant was all right, but it wasn't good enough. He said, I come and get rid of the first covenant and to establish the second covenant. What is the second covenant? The second covenant is what? Jesus Christ died, hung on the tree, buried, put in the grave, got up on the third day month. He said, that's the covenant I made with you. And since I made it with you, you're going to have to come to me to know God. And the Jews said, well, we don't want to come to you. That's all right. The Lord said, all right, I got some that's not of this fold, but them are all so much bring. And what Jesus was saying that, he said, there's a time coming when I'm going to cut y'all off. I'm going to cut y'all off, and I'm going to go out there and get them wild branches. I'm going to go out there and get them wild Gentiles, and I'm going to bring them in. I'm going to bring in them idolaters. I'm going to bring in them whoremongers. I'm going to bring in all those people that seem like they don't amount to nothing. Because when I wrote this, when the Lord wrote the scriptures, he said, I put in John, in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. And he said, I'm not worried about the color of the skin or your status quo. I ain't worried about the black or white. I'm not worried about the Hispanic. I'm not worried about the Roman and Italian. I ain't worried about the Indian. I'm not worried about that because I'm not worried about the color of your skin or your ethnic background. What I want to know, do you want those souls that hell and the grave? Because the Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that goes from Adam all the way to Eve and from Eve all the way down to Seth and all the way down to Cain, all the way down to Nimrod, all the way down to Noah, all the way down to Isaiah, Jeremiah. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But when I came to suffer for the sins of the world and to men that come to know me, come to know me, guess what? There's a change. So you cannot deny the Jews are getting ready now. They're getting ready to meet the Antichrist. Because the Jews are going to meet the Antichrist before they meet the true Christ. The Antichrist today. Today, right now, 2020, May the 31st, the day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, the church was conceived by receiving the Holy Ghost on this day. Pentecost is a Jewish festival, not a church. And I know there's apostolic Pentecost, there's the holiness Pentecost. That's just the name of Pentecost, which means jubilant. Rejoicing, a day of jubilee. And on that day, this day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ had went back to heaven. When he went back to heaven, he told his disciples, go back down in Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And you shall be filled with power from on high, which is the Holy Ghost. Remember when Jesus Christ got up out the grave, he stayed here on the earth 40 days and 40 nights to prove that who he said he was, that's who he was. He was the Son of the living God. He was the resurrected Christ. He was God in the flesh. And he stayed up on earth and he showed himself to the disciples. 500 brothers saw him at one time. 500 saw him at one time. They seen the nail prints. They seen the pierced side. They seen the nail prints in his hands. They walked with him. They talked with him. They dined with him. They saw him for 40 days and 40 nights to prove that he said who he was. He is. And why folks want to go and grab another religion? Why do you want to go grab some kind of thing called Buddhism, a Judaism, a Shintoism, of Mormonism, of unity, Satanism. You got people that belong to Taoism. You got people who belong to Christian Science, Jehovah Witness. You got people who is in Islam. They do not glorify Christ. They do not lift up Christ. They don't even carry the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't identify themselves with the blood of Jesus Christ. And they yet still they say that they know God. You can't know God except you come through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. You ought to say amen. Amen. A lot of people got all kinds. They got Nazism. We got the KKK. We got the voodoo. We got witchcraft. We got the Apostolic Church. We got the Church of God in Christ. We got humanism. And I'm saying this. I'm saying denominations. Amen. If denominations are teaching the word of God and lifting up the name of Jesus and teaching holiness and teach the first coming of Jesus Christ and the second coming of Jesus Christ and teaching the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the only way that a man can know God and enter into the kingdom of God. If a preacher is not preaching the holiness of the blood of Jesus Christ and the righteousness of the blood of Jesus Christ and let the world know it was Jesus Christ who died and suffered on the cross, which is God Almighty. God Almighty, the one that can stand in the center of the universe and call out your name. The one that knows the number of hairs in your head. The one that is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The one that's got the present immutable. The one that knows all things. The one that died and went back to heaven. In the 40 days, he said, now, within 10 days, I'm going to send you the Holy Ghost. In the 10 days, you add 10 onto 40, and you get 50. 50 is the day of jubilant, a jubilee. Jubilant 1,000 years ago. Why? Because that was the conception of the church. But look, what you talking about? Not the conception of the Baptist church, not the conception of Confucianism, not the conception of the Church of God in Christ, not the apostolic church. It wasn't the lesbian church. It wasn't the witchcraft church. It wasn't the voodoo church. It wasn't Nazism church. There ain't no such thing. It was the birth of the church of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that he purchased with his blood and his blood only. Almighty is holy, righteous, powerful, indescribable. And what does the blood of Christ do? It changes people's lives through the Holy Spirit. Because when the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, he opened a fountain that's filled with blood, flows from Emmanuel's veins. If the sinner, God Almighty, if the sinner falls beneath the flow, it'll lose all its guilty stain. If you want to see something happen, let me tell you something. If an unregenerate man, unregenerated man receives Christ in their life, he's going to change from hate to love. And we see more hate in the world